Hello and welcome to the WordPress Chick Podcast, brought to you by the WPChick.com. WordPress explained for those of us who get headaches when we hear words like PHP and functions, but want to make money with our WordPress sites. No boring code snippets here, just WordPress happiness made easy. Now here's your host, Kim Doyle, the WordPress Chick.
Hey, what's up everybody? Kim Doyle, the WordPress Chick. And welcome to the WordPress Chick Podcast, episode number 9. I cannot believe I'm one episode away from 10 already. This is so fun. Before you jump into the interview with Adam, I just wanted to make two quick announcements, so you're going to kind of get two introductions here. Adam and his partner Brad have very generously offered a discount to my listeners and readers. So you can go over to foopluggins.com and you can get 20% off Foobox, which is friggin' awesome. And I just did a post on how to integrate Foobox and NextGen Gallery. It's so pretty. I love it. But it works great too. It's not just good looking. Or their Social Wiggle Pro. Both are premium plugins. So if you go over to foopluggins.com, you can get 20% off either of those plugins by entering the discount code WPCHICK20. And that's all uppercase letters, so WPCHICK20 for a 20% discount. So thank you very much for that offer, guys. And I suggest you take advantage of it because they really are great plugins. The second announcement that I wanted to make is related to the brand new plugin marketplace that they have launched over at Foo Plugins. And so this is a vendor marketplace for plugins. They're 100% GPL, but you can sell your plugins through Foobox now. So I'm not going to go into great detail. They've written a really good post on the site. So it's foopluggins.com. Go to the blog and check out this article. And it's pretty exciting. They've got a whole different way of doing things. So I'm excited to see where this goes because I'm a geek about plugins and I love finding new stuff. So anyways, make sure to check out the vendor marketplace, the new post that they've just recently launched, and take advantage of that 20% discount. So enjoy the interview. Make sure that if you go over to Foo Plugins, tell them I sent you, say hi. They've got a ton of other great stuff going on. So listen to the interview. I think you're going to really enjoy it. Adam's a great guy. I haven't had the pleasure of talking with Brad yet, but I think you're going to enjoy it. So enjoy the interview. Check out foopluggins.com. Hey, what's up, everybody? Kim Doyle, the WordPress Chick here, and welcome to episode number 9 of the podcast. I'm super excited. Got another interview for you today, and this is actually the second WordPress interview, which I like to talk to entrepreneurs who aren't necessarily revolving around WordPress, but of course my heart is with WordPress. So, and this is really fun today. I'm going to introduce you in a sec to Adam Warner of Foo Plugins and he'll fill you in on his story and what he's got going on. But I think I've known you for now a couple of years, Adam, but I think this is probably like the second time we're actually talking on Skype.
Yes, and first of all, thank you for having me. And yes, it is the second time we've actually talked with our voices. There was a lot of text going back and forth previously, but as I said, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited about what you guys are doing. So before we get into Foo Plugins, so give us a little bit of your background and story and how you got involved with WordPress. What you were doing before this, actually, too.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's kind of a varied story. I did a lot of things before I went full-time with WordPress plugin development. So it all started back in about late 2003, 2004. Previous to that, I was building my own websites by hand. Of course, like many of us fairly old schoolers, we got started with net firms or GeoCities, places like that. But I dove into HTML back in the late 90s and had a few websites of my own, some for fun, some for little side businesses that I ran. But I was running a memorial DVD company at the time.
Oh, wow.
Where I was taking images from families of the recently deceased and editing them, making them look good, and then putting them together in slideshows onto DVDs. So with that business came the need for a website. I was just starting to market myself then, and I had built this all by hand, each page, and I needed an easier way to update my content and to show my videos. So I started looking for open source CMS platforms and blogging platforms, and I tried several. I tried Joomla and Hikari at the time and stumbled across WordPress, and of course that was the first version of WordPress back in 2004, I believe. It was not at all a CMS. It was just for blogging, but what it did allow me to do was easily add pages, update pages, update the content, that sort of stuff. So I was impressed by the ease of use, but also, well, more so, the community around WordPress, right? So not being familiar with CMSs like that and doing everything straight code, it was quite a learning curve, understanding what plugins and themes did and did not do, and then how to bend those to my will. So the community is huge, and I was attracted to that and all the helpful people there. So that's how I first learned of WordPress, and I actually ported that site to WordPress way back then.
Now, during this whole time as you were doing this, were you working full-time somewhere else? Or, you know, my guess is you were a student at some point in that part.
Well, yeah, I was a student back in 1990, actually, was my first year of college. So I graduated in 94 with an advertising design degree.
Wow.
I had always done kind of artsy stuff when I was younger, and I figured advertising was the way to go. But after I graduated, I actually had a bit of a moral issue with advertising, in that we were taught to manipulate people's wants and needs and make them all wants. And so I wasn't too hip on getting into the advertising game as far as creating ad campaigns or illustrations and that sort of stuff. So I went the blue collar route after college. I grew up in a small town in Michigan, and I grew up with the mindset that you work for a company in a factory, they take care of you, and you spend the rest of your life in one building, 2 weeks off in the summer, you know, holidays and that sort of thing.
Union dues.
yeah. So what I ended up doing, to make a really long story short, I did a series of things through college, including delivering pizzas and managing a pizza place and that sort of stuff, while all the while doing these little side businesses. I used to do pen and ink portraits and illustrations, and then, of course, this funeral home memorial DVD stuff. But I ended up working in a furniture manufacturing plant, office furniture, because that was a big industry where I was at. I went from cleaning the newly created parts and boxing them, and made my way up to a CNC programmer, which was a computer navigated control machines, like drilling machines and large panel saws and that sort of thing. So that was really my first introduction into programming logic. And I'm no programmer, first of all. The power that you could have by just setting some coordinates and making a machine do something really appealed to me. So I thought that that was going to be, you know, my long-term future. But then 9/11 hit here in the States, and because of the way that the furniture industry works, a lot of our contracts were government contracts, and they would renew and order new furniture every year. Whether they needed it or not, they would keep their budgets.
Government spending in its finest.
Right. So we were all pretty secure until budgets started getting cut and stuff started going toward, you know, Homeland Security and that sort of stuff. So the company had a round of layoffs. I made it to round number 3, all the while being worried for my future on one hand, but all the while hoping I would get let go because it would force me to follow more into my passions, right? So it would force me to change my perspective and do something different. So I did get laid off, and I spent a few months trying to figure out what it was I wanted to do. So all the while doing this website and small business stuff on the side, I decided to go back to school for web design. Because at that time it was just starting to really mature in the university setting, you know, as far as teaching and stuff. So I took one semester of web design. Really loved it, learned a lot of new stuff, and thought to myself, okay, this is what I want to do. Now, how do I do it? So I was translating what I was learning there into my abilities with WordPress, and then I started making a couple of different themes. I started a WordPress tutorial site called WordPress Modder, I actually, the domain was WordPress Modder, but of course I changed the domain to WP Modder.
I went through that myself.
Yeah, I think a lot of us did. And it wasn't, you know, it was just we didn't know, you know, until they put the rule down to take WordPress out of the domain. So I was doing that for fun and a little bit of profit. So I was making websites for people. So after that first semester, I did that for a little while. And that was, again, up in Michigan. And then I decided that it was time to broaden my horizons, so I found some roommates online and packed the car with everything I could fit in it, plus my dog, and went down to Florida in 2002. And I don't know how far I should go, because I have a whole long story for you if you want it.
No, but it's great. You can keep going. I love it. And I think people like to hear that, you know, because a lot of times when people, you know, you look at food plugins and people probably think, oh, great plugin company. They just decided to start it. And there's a whole history behind how you guys got there. So no, it's fantastic.
Okay. Well, absolutely. There is, you know, I'm a firm believer in, I mentioned mindset earlier, you know, I had the blue collar mindset, but I'm a firm believer in manifesting your own destiny, as it were, you know, visualizing what you wanted it, what it is you want to do. And then those things come to you because you have that mindset of that's what you're going to accomplish. So, you know, whether that's some, I don't want to get too ethereal, but whether that's some kind of universal thing that happens, you know, those opportunities that are attracted, or you're more open to seeing those kinds of opportunities and taking those risks. That's what I started to do when I left my home state and moved to Florida. When I moved, I had some savings. I was doing some client work at the time, building small websites for people, mostly blogs. I needed a job. So 2 days after I arrived in Florida, on the local news, they had a job fair advertisement for SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida. And I went and was asked to shave my beard and ended up working at a sister park to SeaWorld called Discovery Cove. And Discovery Cove is where you can swim with dolphins and that sort of thing.
Cool.
So I gave tours there. I'm a bit of a social guy. So after I got comfortable speaking in front of people, I gave tours of the parks and checked people in and that sort of thing. Ended up switching houses and had a bunch of roommates that also worked there. But one of those roommates was into video and was into creating short, you know, fun little short videos, short movies. And that's, of course, YouTube was kind of up and coming then. And so we thought we were going to be the next Scorsese and Spielberg. So I bought my first Mac, and it was a G4, and it had iMovie on it, which was amazing to us. And it allowed us to do a lot of cool stuff. But again, all the while using WordPress to client work, but also tutorials and stuff as I learned more and started blogging about my experiences with video and displaying those online and that sort of thing. So I spent a few years in Orlando. Then some family stuff happened. I went back up to Michigan for a few years. And that's when I really got more into using WordPress to do client work and even more of my own sites. I started to fiddle around with affiliate marketing, Google advertising, that sort of thing, trying to figure out how to monetize while still having a moral base, you know. So sometimes that's difficult, and that was a difficult hurdle for me to get over.
It was a huge hurdle for me too. My last podcast, the whole episode was on monetizing WordPress, because like you said, I mean, it's a community, and there's such this sharing, and it's open source. And, you know, I think the internet marketing days of, you know, mid-90s are over, the hypey sales stuff with social media. But I totally get it. It's like, this is a business. I want to earn money, but I don't want to be smarmy.
Right, exactly. And that's so that went on actually with me for a couple of years, trying different stuff. I had a couple of e-commerce stores where I sold pet supplies and that sort of thing. And of course, with every one of those websites I built, I thought that was going to be it. That was my future. You know, that was my financial future. But of course, as we talked about, everything is a stepping stone, and one thing always leads to the other. So, of course, I needed a day job when I was back up there. I started working for an audiobook publisher, and I worked in the customer service department of their online sales. So I was still doing geeky online stuff. Of course, it was rather dry as far as work went, but I had the opportunity there to continue with my WordPress work, sometimes at work, sometimes most of the time at home. I became friendly with the IT department there and ended up working my way into the IT department as a junior web programmer.
Oh, nice.
So that was all, again, that was part of trying to turn my passion into something that I would work daily at and get paid for. So that was a great opportunity. I learned a ton of stuff. Unfortunately, their sites were built on classic ASP. So I learned a little bit about ASP programming, but all the while trying to convince them that they needed a company blog in order to drive traffic and that sort of stuff. And this was in 2005, 2006 when I ended up moving to the IT department. And then after a short time with them, the company was acquired by Amazon.com. So I then became an Amazon.com employee, which was really awesome. The culture there is really great. But that, aside from that, it afforded me the opportunity to really promote what I was doing with WordPress as far as integrating social media and driving traffic to e-commerce sites and that sort of thing. So that's when I really became more proficient with utilizing WordPress as a marketing tool while still providing benefit for people. So I have more to go. Do you want more?
Great. We're totally good on time. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of great to say you worked with Amazon. That's cool. Keep going.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a nice little plug on my resume for sure. But more than that, I mean, I just learned a lot about the technical culture of Amazon and, you know, larger tech companies like that. One thing I will say, they don't do anything unless the data tells them so. So they're huge on data metrics. So basically measuring every single thing that can be measured as far as a business is concerned, both offline and online. And that, again, I took that with me, and that taught me more about building my own businesses and tracking the things that needed to be tracked and not checking my analytics every hour to see the five more people that showed up to my website, you know, because it wasn't a good use of my time.
But I think to that point really quick is, you know, because I, you know, you hit a point in business. I've been doing this about 5 years, and it's like I consciously said, all right, you need to really start getting diligent about tracking and measuring. And I'm always surprised, like when I have a client or I'm converting a site and they've got no analytics and they just keep writing and putting stuff out there without knowing whether it's even what people want. So no, that's a huge learning curve, and to take it with you, I'm sure you have brought that with you with your other ventures.
Yeah, well, I try. You know, it's a fine balance between, and I'll talk more about what we've done with Foo Plugins, but it's a fine balance between managing your time on the things that are going to matter the most as far as customer engagement and the benefits for your customer, as opposed to tracking every little thing and making sure the website is the best it can be for conversions and that sort of thing. But that's, as you know, it's an ongoing battle, and things change all the time. So it's not something that you can measure once, of course, and then say, okay, this is it, and this is what we're going to do for the next 10 years. It just doesn't work like that, no. Unfortunately. So we try to fit that all in our small team. So let me get back to the, working with Amazon. At the time, I'd gotten married in Michigan while working for this subsidiary of Amazon, and then my wife is originally from Florida. So the first year in Michigan, it was like, wow, this winter is really super pretty, and then then the second year, it was like, wait a minute, these winters are really this long? And then the third and fourth year, it was, hey, we got to get back to Florida somehow, some way.
I always think about that when I whine about our weather. You know, like I'm an hour east of San Francisco, and I'm like, I can't complain. So I look at winters, and I'm going, ooh, no thanks.
Yeah, well, you know, the grass is always greener, of course. Now that we're in Florida, there's things about Florida that I wish that they were more like Michigan, of course.
Yeah.
But so we ended up making the decision. As a side note, she worked for the same company as well. So we were both working for the same company and comfortable with our jobs and what we were doing. But at the same time, you know, we knew we wanted to get back to Florida. So I ended up looking for work, flew down for an interview with a ventilation systems company as their website manager. And on my way back to the airport, was offered the job. And within 2 weeks, we had packed up everything we owned and showed up in Florida.
Wow.
So it was a really fast transition, really scary. But again, one of those things that I did to kind of just jump off the cliff and kind of just think, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. It'll work out and we'll figure it out some way.
Absolutely.
So I ended up working for this ventilation systems company up until last April, managing their web properties. And at the time when I came on with them, they had a static HTML website that was in three different languages, English, French, and Spanish.
Wow.
And I moved that website to a WordPress multi-site installation.
Wow.
And made each sub-site a different language and each sub-site a different portion of their business, the main portal and then their commercial and residential business. So that was a huge learning curve for me as well. I had been toying with multi-site and a couple of little side businesses I was doing. Ended up using it for this large corporate site based in Sweden, Canada, and the US. So it was good. And I liked it. But last year, they made the decision to close the Florida office and move the main operations to Sweden and Kansas because they had a company there. So I made the decision then that I wasn't going to continue with them in an office setting. I'm still under contract for some certain things. But that was when I really decided, okay, it's time to move forward with WordPress-based products. Now, how am I going to do it? So that brought me to really looking into the internet marketing world a little deeper. Mm-hmm. And it brought me back to that same decision. How do I create a product and market it without being a sleazy snake oil salesman, you know?
Totally.
Making sure I provide real value and making sure that I build trust with people. So looking into the internet marketing world and seeing how things were done that I don't like, but then seeing things how things were done that I did like, I ended up creating my first information product. And that was a PDF document with screenshots and associated videos that showed people how to install and configure WordPress multi-site on HostGator.
Oh, nice.
And I sold that on an internet marketing forum called Warrior Forum. You may be familiar with it.
Yep.
And it was a great launch pad to kind of launch my initial brand. This has nothing to do with Foo Plugins yet. And I saw that I was building trust. I was building a customer base in the form of an email list, and I was making some money. So that was kind of the spark that led me to say, okay, let's make this bigger. But the hurdle at the time was that I am not a programmer. I can build a website from scratch, and especially using WordPress, and tweak it and make it do what I need to do, but I don't write plugins. I tried. They didn't work out very well. So one of the challenges was to find a WordPress plugin creator that needed my skills, my sales and marketing and handshaking skills, so we could be a good match. So feel free to interrupt if...
Well, I was going to ask you, when did you start WP Pro Business? I know that was all before Foo Plugin. So how, you know, when did you do that and are you still doing it?
Well, WP Pro Business was kind of an extension of the earlier site, WPModder.com, which is still out there, but it's more of a kind of an archived information site. I don't update that one very often. So Pro Business was part of my rebranding when I started to make my first info products.
Okay.
So that was the business name that I wanted to go under. That was very WordPress focused. And that, of course, has WordPress tutorials and those sorts of things, but it's also was also a platform for doing reviews on products that offered affiliate commissions and that sort of thing. And then, of course, my own products. So that came in while I was working at the ventilation systems company. I was doing that on the side, kind of building up that side business in the hope that it would eventually spawn something else.
Mm-hmm. You know? No, I was just going to say, you know, I know that, is that something that you're still working on, or do you kind of keep it for, you know, relationship building or...
Yes, WP Pro Business is still a functioning site. We do still add content to it. To be honest, in the last few months, it's really been about just sharing updates with Foo Plugins content, but it really is a way to drive client work to me. I have several articles on there that are linked with larger sites like WPMU Dev and WPMU.org and WP Candy, you know, back in a year or so ago. And I still get client contacts from that site probably two or three a week.
That's great.
I've ended up, because of what I'm doing now, I ended up subcontracting to other team members most of the projects that come through. So I have a small team of subcontractors that are local here that I work with, and we meet on a regular basis and talk about things. But most of the client work is outsourced now to my internal team.
That's smart. You got to be able to leverage your time. And if you're good, let's jump into Foo Plugins, because that's a huge undertaking.
Yeah, it is. And Foo Plugins was actually, again, it was one of those things that started from something else. I was working with a client in Texas, and he needed some customizations to the Gravity Forms plugin. So I was on the Gravity Forms forums trying to figure out the code I needed to do to meet this guy's needs, and ended up going back and forth with a guy named Brad on the forums, and he was trying to help me out. And I said, listen, can I just hire you to make this plugin extension for Gravity Forms? And he said, yes. So we took the conversation onto Skype, and he completed the project. And in that process, we ended up talking about how I had all of these plugin ideas that I wanted to get done, and then he had these free plugins on the repo, on the WordPress repository, that were already out there with thousands of downloads, and he also had some stuff on Code Canyon. So I said, well, maybe there's an opportunity to work together. And so we ended up creating our first product together named Foobox. And Foobox is a responsive image lightbox plugin with some social sharing layers built in. We ended up working on releasing that on June of 2012. And we released it on the Warrior Forum because I was familiar there with that process with my own products. He was actually not too fond of releasing things there because of the propensity of that site to have some fly-by-night kind of people.
Yeah.
But it worked out well in the sense that we built an immediate customer base. We didn't make a lot of money, but we built a customer base and had a lot of affiliates come on board right away. And then Foobox turned into Foo Plugins as we started to get more serious about the additional products that we wanted and still want to release. So that's kind of what spawned the idea of Foo Plugins, along with a bunch of other stuff. And there's several phases of Foo Plugins that we are currently going through. We're about to start phase two, which is coming later this month, which I can't talk too much about because it's kind of top secret, but it's pretty exciting.
That's cool though too. Gives tease a little bit, you know, gives somebody a reason to come back. Can you just run through the plugins that you guys have on Foo Plugins right now?
Sure. Yeah. We currently have 8 plugins available. Of those plugins, our flagship, of course, is Foobox, which is the one I just mentioned. And then we have another one called Social Wiggle Pro and Lite. And it's basically kind of like the social icon plugin that has been around for years. And I mean, there's probably hundreds of different ones, if not thousands. But this one is a little bit different in that the icons wiggle.
They do. They're on my site, and people can see them in the sidebar.
Well, there you go. And it's one of those things that is kind of a simple solution as far as coding, but it has an impact because it does draw the user's attention to your social networks if that's what your goal is for your site. So we have Foobox, Social Wiggle, Pro and Lite, and then we have Foobar, Foobar Lite, Foobar Pro, and then Foobar jQuery. And this is, I should mention that my co-founder, Brad, that I mentioned, his name is Brad Vincent. He can be found at themergency.com. He had Foobar out in the world for some time before we started working together to get it on Foo Plugins.
They'll be able to see. I've got Foobar. I've got them all. Well, Foobar and Foobox, both of them. But I had nightmares with hosting and I'm all moved. So I've got both of them now ready to go. So when this goes live, you'll be able to see Foobar for sure on the site.
Very cool. Very cool. Thanks for using our stuff.
They're great.
Yeah. So Foobar is, it puts the notification bar at the top or bottom of your site, depending on which version you have. And then we also have a plugin called FooTable. And FooTable Lite is the WordPress version. And then we have FooTable jQuery. And it basically makes HTML tables in your WordPress installation responsive. And it gives you options for hiding different columns of data. So if you have a table that you have to display a ton of data on, but you only want to display certain amounts of that data when it's seen on a mobile device, FooTable gives you options for that. Right now, it's a little bit manual because when you're typing in your HTML content into the text editor of WordPress, you have to use our different data attributes to set the options per column and per row and that sort of thing. So that covers our 8 plugins, and I should step back a little bit and say that Foo Plugins is WordPress plugins, but also jQuery plugins. So with the business plan, we wanted to make sure that we were still a viable part of the WordPress community, but also the jQuery community, because that's kind of Brad's bread and butter, if you will, for having a following of people. So we will continue to have jQuery plugins as well as WordPress plugins.
And now both, I know Foobox is responsive, and I know that some people understand responsive, but basically it's viewable on all devices, right? And it formats to that, whatever you're looking at on, whether it's a tablet or a phone. Now, is Foobar responsive too?
Foobar, I believe, is responsive. You've caught me at
a loss
there.
I'm sorry, but we'll confirm that in the show notes. So
let's do that.
Yeah, it's a great plugin regardless.
Yeah, well, thank you. So, and I know there are some updates to Foobar Pro. There's a lot of stuff he wants to build in for sure. So if it's not responsive right now, then I'm sure it will be very shortly. And Foobox, again, is for your images. So what it does, if people don't understand responsive, if you have images embedded in your page that link to the image file, or you have galleries with NextGen Gallery or some or the built-in WordPress galleries, when you click an image, it enlarges that image to the window size based on the device that you're looking at it on. So if you're on a mobile phone, depending on your orientation, landscape, or portrait, the image will resize to fit as much of that window as possible. So it makes looking at image galleries on a mobile device, a tablet or phone, much more enjoyable.
And I have to say too, I had I just set it up on another site of mine in a members area with the gallery in NextGen, because that was taken over sometime right in the last year by somebody else. And the integration with NextGen, it was like done. It was okay, install it. It works so effortlessly. I mean, I've played with lots of gallery and Lightbox plugins, and it's that out of the box kind of solution. And the fact that it's responsive is just that great, plus the social share buttons. And I'm a geek about visual stuff, so it looks really good too.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I mean, we wanted to make sure we built in support for NextGen for sure, and other gallery solutions. There's also another one called Justified Image Grid, which is very popular, known as JIG for short, that's found on Code Canyon, that we also have some integration with. And we did set ourselves up for a lot of support right away when we released Foobox, because we didn't really realize, and we probably did, it's just something we didn't think about, that there are so many themes out there that use different jQuery photo options. So you have Fancy Box and Pretty Photo, and then there's some other custom ones that people are using. So we ended up building in some advanced tabs where you can turn off. There's some check boxes, but you can turn off other light boxes, or you can disable them with little code snippets and that sort of thing. So Foobox has gone through 14 upgrades in less than a year because of the features that people wanted, and also these bug fixes that were there that were causing integration issues. So at this point, it's pretty stable plugin, and we've got some other things planned for it actually that are hopefully coming within the next month or so.
Nice. So now, having started, obviously, first plugin business for you, you know, there are a lot of WordPress users, ideally, that are listening to this. So, you know, what were some of the challenges that you faced in terms of, you know, getting a plugin business, a WordPress business? I mean, we heard some of your previous, you know, your journey, but specifically with Foo plugins, you know, any recommendations if somebody were starting this, or what were some of the challenges that you learned while starting this venture?
Well, there were a lot. There were the question of the legal setup was something that was my responsibility in the partnership to really dig into. The company is based, it's a limited liability corporation based in the U.S., in Florida. My partner is in South Africa, so we had to figure out the structure of the corporation and how to make that fit into the legalities of the U.S. law, being that we're in two different countries. So we had to hire an accountant to go through all of that with us and help us figure out what we needed to do. So that was definitely a learning curve for me, and I blogged about that a little bit on my personal site on adamwwarner.com about that journey. So that was definitely something that was a little bit unexpected, but we wanted to make sure that we did this right from the start, because we have a huge vision for Foo plugins, and it's not just, you know, we're not just going to be selling 8 of our own plugins here. Shortly, that's going to change. So another thing was making sure that we had a premium product that still gave us cred within the WordPress community, because we're both, of course, ingrained in the community for a lot of years, especially with Brad's free plugins and my activity on the forums and that sort of thing. So we wanted to make sure that everything was 100% GPL compatible as far as the as WordPress was concerned. So that's something that we researched quite intensely and wrote our licensing documentation to fit within that. And of course, you've been around the WordPress world a lot, and every year or so the GPL comes up and there's opinions on both sides, and it's never a cut and dry thing, but we think we've got it nailed down to what we need it to be.
Now, and when you guys were setting up with, I know, because I think we had emailed back and forth about this. So you guys actually customized your e-commerce and everything for the site too, right? Because you've got licensing and some of that involved as well.
Yeah, we did. That's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up. That was probably the largest hurdle to get over, was the setup and the flow of the site in general, but also the purchase process, and to have it integrate with a license generation script. So what we ended up doing, we looked at a bunch of different e-commerce solutions that we were all familiar with: WP e-commerce, JigoShop, WooCommerce, of course, and then Pippin Williamson's project, Easy Digital Downloads. And because we like how open Pippin's project was, he brought us right in as developers, because we first contacted him about making an extension for EDD. Mm-hmm. And we were brought right in, given all kinds of access to all kinds of knowledge to all the different developers. I think he's at last count, he has over 40 developers involved with the main project and also the extensions.
Wow.
So we decided to go with EDD, Easy Digital Downloads, for our backend, but we did heavily customize parts of it, because what had happened is we released Foobox on its own domain last June on getfoobox.com, and with that, Brad had written his own licensing creation and management plugin that we've been using since that time. And EDD does offer a software licensing extension, but we found that it wasn't as robust as what we needed it to be. Mm-hmm. and what we were used to. So that was a lot of customization that went in to the back end, was making sure our licensing system worked with EDD in a way that we wanted to, and that was as easy as it could be for the end user. So right now, when someone buys a plugin on the site, as soon as they make payment, they're redirected to their purchase history page, which has the direct link to the download and also their license key right there for them. And then that is also seen in their email that they get after they purchase. So we wanted to make sure, again, that the user experience was as good as it could be. And that involved a lot of customization of the plugins that we're using and also the theme that we're using.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's sort of the beauty of where you're saying, you know, he's a programmer and you've got some of the marketing and the online experience in terms of just being out there and being social, because, you know, when you're coming from a user experience, right? So it's a lot easier. I just think it's a great pairing, the fact that with both of your minds, because a lot of times, and this isn't a dig at plugin developers because I'm not one, but you have these great plugins, but for the everyday user, it's like rocket science trying to figure out how to use it, or there's not documentation all the time. So I think coming from that perspective, it just sets you guys up for more success, really.
Well, thank you for that. And that is one of our goals, because we experience the same thing. We both use different themes and plugins in our other businesses, and that it really runs the gamut. And it depends on the individual plugin developer or theme developer into how deep they're going to go into their documentation and usage and support. And that is one thing. Another thing that we really wanted to focus on was having good documentation straight out of the gate. So when people purchase something from us, they can read or watch a video and see exactly how it's used. And then also to offer them super quick and detailed support. And we were lucky enough, well, I'll step back a little bit. With the Foobox experience, Brad and I were handling all the support tickets. And as I said before, many of them involved customizations with different themes and Lightbox solutions. So a lot of the requests came down to specific code snippets, which was Brad's area of expertise and not mine. So we were both handling tickets, and it started to slow down our ability to produce additional products and launch Foo plugins, for instance. So we ended up having to hire a support person. We knew we wanted to, but that was one of the balances we had to find between profits and growing. So we basically now are throwing most of our profits back into the business, into the tools that we use, but also into hiring great people to help us support our customers.
Which that's a huge point to make for anybody listening in terms of, you know, whether or not you've got, you know, maybe you want to do themes or plugins or, you know, like I mentioned in the monetizing WordPress piece where I think the documentation aspect is a huge opportunity for people who like to create that type of stuff, because there's a lot of great things out there that need that. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure you guys have worked long hours, and I just think it's good for people to hear that you guys are putting the money back into this right now to continue growing. And you know, there's a little bit of, there's a misperception, I think, with online business that you're going to start something and you hear about these internet marketing launches, and it just, that's not sustainable long term. We're not all Frank Kern and making $1 million in 24 hours, you know, in his 15, 20 year overnight success.
Right. And along those same lines, I'm sure Frank wasn't doing that straight out of the gate either.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm sure he has a large support team to handle all of that stuff. But that's, you know, that's part of the pain point of launching an online business, realizing, first of all, how much time it takes. I work much harder with my own business than I ever did sitting in a cubicle, because I could turn it off at 5 o'clock, and enjoy the rest of my day. But it's 24 hours a day now. I'm constantly checking my email for something that needs to be handled right away, that sort of stuff. So you have to have a little bit of self-discipline too, and take the time off that you need, but also put every earning that you make back into the business somehow, whether it's putting it in an account to save for doing a WordCamp sponsorship, for instance, or something along those lines, or hiring people. It doesn't happen overnight. Well, it does and it doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. So when you launch an online business or a product, stuff happens overnight, literally, right? By the second people are buying, people are sending support tickets, and you're like, yes, this is awesome, let's go. But then the scaling, I guess is a better way to put it, the scaling of the business takes time. And so we're in the midst of scaling now. And that's kind of why we've broken our business model into three phases so far, so we had a good idea of where to start and where to stop and start the next phase when we were at a point to do so.
In terms of the WordCamp sponsorships, because I know you guys launched with a WordCamp sponsorship, and you were mentioning before we started this that you've got another one coming up. So, you know, what made you decide to do that, and how was that paying off for you guys?
Well, I've been to several WordCamps before, and I love them, and I've seen other WordPress companies launch at WordCamps, and the reason we did that was because we wanted to give back to the community with, of course, some coupon codes and stuff, and it's a good marketing tactic, because we wanted to announce that, hey, we're here, here's our brand, and we could immediately get that out to 500 plus people, and of those people, several of them are social on Twitter and Facebook, etc., and we got a nice initial push for the brand, and we had some visibility within the WordPress community, and that was our goal, of course, was, hey, we're here, check us out, follow what we do, bear with us for a few months, and see what's coming next. So that was WordCamp Miami. It was a ton of fun, but it does take a lot of handshaking. You can't just show up with some stickers and say, you know, here we are.
Totally.
You got to get out and talk to people. And it's not just about selling your brand or your business, but it's also about making partnerships that are going to grow your business. We are sponsoring WordCamp Austin on May 18th as a bronze sponsor. And at that time, we will be announcing phase two of our business. And that phase two, that initial announcement, is a direct result of a partnership handshake that was made in WordCamp Miami.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's definitely possible, and we're looking forward to the future.
What about WordCamp San Francisco? That's a big one.
It is a big one. I'm not sure if we're going to be ready for that yet. Their sponsorship costs are a little bit higher than the average for the kind of visibility that we would like to have.
Well, for people who don't know, Automattic has an office in San Francisco, so that's part of it.
Right, yeah. And I would love nothing more than to either attend or sponsor, but I'm not sure if that's in the cards for us just yet. We are thinking about sponsoring WordCamp Chicago, and we've also just become a donor to the Kickstarter project for Ghost.
I just read about that on ProBlogger.
It's a pretty cool project, so I would recommend people check it out. Looks like it's going to be some good stuff there. So that said, our marketing dollars are spread a little thin for the next couple of months.
Okay, well, if you're going to come out to WordCamp San Francisco, let me know, and maybe we could coordinate a meetup.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. I will definitely do that.
So, I mean, I could definitely find the space and... Yeah, I've got some connections to people that could help, you know. My sister works in the liquor industry in the city, so we might be able to find some good locations. So keep me, you know, let me know.
Yeah, absolutely, I will. And I'll definitely keep that in mind for sure, Kim.
So is there anything you can share that's coming for Foo Plugins that's not under the secret side of it?
What I can say is on May 18th, there will be more plugins on Foo Plugins that are not just ours. And it will be the beginning of a larger marketplace for WordPress plugins. I can't say who, I can't say what. You just have to tune into the WordCamp Austin Twitter feed on May 18th. And of course, our blog will be announcing there too.
Okay, cool. That's not too far away. Today's the, you know, we're recording this on May 1st. So when this goes live, it'll be right around the corner. Okay, so last thing, is there anything maybe, you know, I like a little goofy side to this, but, you know, what's something fun maybe you'd like to share that people don't know about you? Just give us a little insight.
I am a 41-year-old father of an almost one-year-old, so that's kind of exciting. Well, not kind of, it is exciting. And I also, a lot of people don't know, some people know this from being out late at a WordCamp at the bar. I do have a prosthetic eye, so I am aware of a glass eye, and if anyone sees me in person and asks me to show them my glass eye, I am more than happy to do so.
That's totally cool.
How's that for off the cuff?
That was totally off the cuff. That was great. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners? You know, we'll put all the links to everything that Adam mentioned, and of course, Foo Plugins, and to his site and to Brad's, but if there's anything else you want to share or...
Well, no, not too much other than just that I want people to know that we're here for the community, and we aim to make and provide plugins that are going to help make your websites better and your clients' websites better. So all I ask is that if you have the time and the inclination, if you would like to follow our blog or follow us on Twitter at Foo Plugins, we will be making all of our company updates there, and we'd love to have you following us.
Thank you so much, Adam. I'm totally glad that we finally got to talk again and we got all this inside scoop. I love this side of it. So thank you so much for everything today.
It's my pleasure, Kim. Thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to share our story. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. All right, everybody, that's it for the interview with Adam. So again, make sure to check out fooplugins.com. I will have all the links in the show notes on the post. And obviously, May 18th, I'm super curious now. I'm going to put that on my Google Cal so I get a reminder to go look.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So that's it, everybody. Have a great day. So thanks again for listening. Just one quick reminder about the discount, that you can go to fooplugins.com, enter the discount code WPCHICK20, so WPCHICK, all uppercase one word, 20, and you can get 20% off of Foobox or Social Eagle Pro. So thanks again for offering that discount. That is for my listeners and readers. So get over there, take advantage of it, and check out what else they got. I love, of course, I've got Foobar too, and I love what they're doing. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed the interview. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.